The scripture today is Luke 18, 15 through 17. In the Pew Bibles, it is on page 81. People were bringing even infants to him that he may touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they sternly ordered them not to do it. But Jesus called for them and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not stop them, for it is such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it."
Lachlan get a little bit situated here, but I love that scripture in Luke 18, just the whole chapter of Luke 18, because it's answering the question of who are those that are welcomed or who gets into the kingdom of heaven? Not so much as a place that you fly off to, kind of like the land of Oz there, but it's a reality that is here and now. And Jesus was pointing to children. And then we're also going to be facing and learning from the rich young ruler here later today. But as we kind of get set up here for our song on Be the Center, the words are there in your packet. I've kind of taken up a tradition to pay attention to whatever psalm number there is of the age that I am. So I turned 42, so I start reading throughout the year. I'll kind of pay attention to Psalm 42. And, you know, some of the psalms are good news. Some of the psalms are, ooh, I know what it's like to go through that, and I hope I don't have to go through it again. But I know that the first couple of verses there in Psalm 42 are very memorable because they've been put to a song. And Psalm 42 reads as, verse 1 and 2, "As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God?" And just this idea of longing for the holy, longing for God, that's something that I can relate to, and I think all of us can relate to. We relate to that sense of longing, that sense of yearning. And the good news is the Christian message is it answers that question, when shall I come and behold the face of God? And the message of Christ in the kingdom of God is right now. That's the good news. And that's the message that Christ came and brought to us. Well, speaking of Christ, we're just going to sing this little song of prayer, of adoration. And if you want to stand, this song is called Be the Center. And if you want to stand with me and sing along to this song that Lachlan and I wanted to share, we're going to go ahead and may this be our prayer. Lord, may this be our prayer to you. May we be open to you. May we be sensitive to your spirit and just take time to take you in and settle into the reality of your presence, your peace, and your person. In this place, in Christ's name.
Be my life.
Amen. You know, sometimes during the week we sing songs, and those songs have a tendency to stick in your brain, and you find yourself humming them or singing them spontaneously. And I know that Great is Thy Faithfulness will be sticking in my brain this week. Just great to have a reminder of a song or a tune to sing unto the Lord, to praise to the Lord, something to say to the Lord. Yes, there is a time for silence. Yes, there is a time of kind of abiding holy reverence. But then there's a time for something to say. Something to say. My message today is called, I just titled it, A Living Expectation. A Living Expectation. Because I think right now, in real time, there's a lot of expectations. There's the expectations I put on myself. There's the expectations of all of us here, gathering here today. And that's a good thing. I just want to acknowledge that. That's a good and an exciting thing. And I know that there's just been a buzz in the air. So I wanted to talk about expectations. Expectations not just humanly speaking, but the expectations of the divine. The expectations of our interactions with Jesus and how those play out into our lives. Two quotes that I wanted to read, and they contrast each other based upon a couple of well-known authors and kind of a playwright. I'm just going to go ahead and read them. The first one is from Henry David Thoreau. He said, we must learn to reawaken and keep ourselves awake, not by mechanical aid or an alarm clock, but by the infinite expectation of the dawn. You know, for Thoreau and in his day, he used this, the allegory or the analogy of dawn as kind of the awakening of the enlightenment in his time, in his day. And he's saying, press into that. Don't give up. Live in expectation. Now, Voltaire, he has something to say about expectations that's a little bit satirical. He says, we never live. We are always in the expectation of living. Voltaire. You know, and while we can kind of click our tongue at that, there's something about that. Because I think each and every one of us may be guilty of that. We're always expecting to live. We're always expecting to kind of fulfill those plans or those duties or, you know, get the oil changed or to finally pop the hood of the car and look, but you never do. We live in expectation, but we rarely do it. Well, you know, we've entered into an exciting time here for Reedwood Friends Church and for the Condo White Hill family. This is a time of celebration. It's a time of relief. This is a time of newness, of mutual discovery, learning from one another. Who are the Condos and the White Hills? Who is Reedwood? Who is and what is Portland? Yesterday we went to an interesting named restaurant by the recommendation of a longtime friend that of mine that has lived here. I said, if it's your first night in Portland, where would you go to eat? And he said, 24th and Meatballs. And I said, is this an autocorrect accident, or is this actually the name of the restaurant? He said, no, that's what it's really named. So we went there, and of course, it was delicious. But discovery, expectation. You know, in reference of to the topic of today's message, this is also a time of hopeful expectation. Dee, I think you were alluding to that. This idea of hope. This idea of expectancy, anticipation. You know, sometimes expectations can be thrilling and exciting. Personally, for me, I know some of the most exciting times of my life has been having the grace of becoming a parent, to be a dad. That has been something that I've had expectation and the grace of experiencing, and it's been good. Of finishing an academic degree, I remember finishing up there at George Fox and submitting my last paper and then coming down and celebrating with Megan, and I said, I submitted my last paper, I think I passed. And, well, you know, I did, you know, this idea of expectation. You know, even the standing in line where in Ohio we have Cedar Point and these roller coaster parks, and even the expectation of while you're standing in line, hearing and feeling the whoosh of the roller coaster and hearing screams of thrilling joy and terror coming from the car. There's this idea of expectation, the idea of what to expect. What are we going to experience here? But I also want to be truthful with the word, because expectation may also have maybe a more tragic side to it. Let us also admit that how expectation can be a burden to our hearts and to our minds. Expectation can have a darker side even. The word can quickly turn into bruised shades of pain with expectation when expectation is linked to forces that work against our well-being. Perhaps in the form of toxic behaviors from a loved one, or even self-destructive addictions. There is that which can be expected of the expectation of life of things never changing. Expectation shows up there too. And we have to be honest about that. We have to be honest about how life, while there are mountaintops and goodness and joy in life, life can also can be painful and can be very real and raw. We want to acknowledge that. All of this is to say that our expectations in life hold a powerful sway on our daily outlook of life. That just kind of goes without saying. Our expectations hold a powerful sway in how we perceive our lives in the world. What are our expectations here this morning? That's what I finally want to get to and will eventually get to. But I want to turn our attention to a familiar narrative in the Gospels. It was by accident that I realized that I'm preaching on the chapter that precedes the chapter that was preached on last week. Last week we heard about the message of not just individual but communal and congregational, this idea of salvation, where Eric Muir, he did such a great job there last week talking about that. But that was in Luke 19. Well, now we're in Luke 18, so we moved backwards. But if you have your Bibles, just kind of stick your finger there in that chapter in Luke 18. But I want to turn our attention to this narrative because it's commonly referred to as the story of the rich young ruler. And we as readers and listeners are brought into a conversation of expectation in this dialogue and in this interaction, where the ruler expected an answer that he never received and an invitation we are not told he ever responded to. Expectation and that response. What we are faced with is not just a friendly exchange of opinions and ideas, a let's agree to disagree moment, but in the very real sense of the word, a faith crisis for the rich young ruler. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to be reading out of chapter 18, starting in verse 18. And again, this is answering the question of who are those in the community that partake in eternal life? Who are those that are in the kingdom of God? And we read before there the scripture of the day, children, those who come to the Lord in a childlike way. Well, then it answers the same question of who are those in the kingdom of God? Who are those that are partaking in eternal life, spiritual life? And we learn a fine lesson here today. Verse 18, and if you want to just follow along, I'll be reading to verse 30. It says here, a certain ruler asked him, that is Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother." And he replied, "I have kept all of these since my youth." When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "There is still one thing lacking. Sell all that you own and distribute the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." But when he heard this, he became sad, for he was very rich. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard it said, "Then who can be saved?" He replied, "What is impossible for mortals is possible for God." Then Peter said, "Look, we have left our homes and followed you." And he said to them, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or even children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not get back very much more in this age and in the age to come eternal life." Have you ever asked a question only to receive an answer that you were not prepared to receive? Have you ever asked a question only to receive an answer that you weren't prepared for? I know I have. And as soon as the answer comes back, you regret, "Ooh, I wish I didn't hear that." Because oftentimes those responses can be only too true. If there's something that is too close to the heart, too close to the soul, too close to someone having read your diary the night before, there is that. I believe that is not so much that the young ruler could not do what Jesus asked him to do, but rather it was because he was able to do this, that is what troubled him. Remember that Christ is not asking him to do something that is impossible for him. That would be unfair. That would be unjust. But it's the fact that the ruler could do these things, could act justly, could love his neighbor in this way. That is what troubled him, or that is what made him sad, it said. I like how this story also, it pops up in the two other synoptic gospels, in Matthew and then also in Mark. And I love the one in Mark, firstly, because it bears my name, or I share its name. But in Mark, it says, Jesus looked at the young ruler and loved him. There was kind of like this intimate little insert there into the nature of Jesus and how he viewed people. It said he heard the ruler's request. He looked on him and he loved him. And because he loved him, he longed for him to be whole. He longed for him to be healed. And he gave him a prescription and a diagnosis that troubled him deeply, that he was able to do these things. Existentialist thinker Jean-Paul Sartre said this about the condition of human beings or mankind. He said, "Man is not the sum of what he has already, but rather the sum of what he does not yet have, of what he could have." Something telling there. that Jean-Paul is putting his finger on. It's not so much of what we have and who that makes us who we are. It is who we can become. And when Jesus said these words to the rich young ruler, that was an invitation for that person to become more of what they were meant to be. And you would think that whenever you, maybe looking on the outside objectively, you would think, well, why wouldn't he like that? Why wouldn't that be good news? Why wouldn't I, Mark, want to become all that I can be? Well, the problem is that maybe I'm living in maybe a state of denial, a state of delusion, a state where maybe I'm taking the easy way. And when I'm called out on that, what would happen to me? Would I be happy about that, or would I be grieved? You know, there is a type of grief that leads to life, as Proverbs would say. That type of grief is something that, when we receive it, it leads us to a deeper life in God. It leads us to become more of who we are meant to become, and it leads us to the life that God offers each and every one of us here, just as Christ is offering this life to the rich young ruler. He's not being mean. He's saying, if you want to follow me, which there's the invitation right there, if you want to follow me, I need you to become whole. I don't want you to have a divided heart, to be part this and part that. I want you to be a reconciled person within so you can be a reconciled person without. That's what I love about this message, because this is a message for me. This is a message for all of us. Oftentimes, our expectation is met with a revelation. And that revelation will lead us to an adaptation. You see, there are steps here. The expectation of the rich young ruler led to a revelation about himself. And that revelation was the invitation for him to adapt and become more adaptable and more in line with that which is the kingdom of God. I'd like to end with a story. We've lived in a few places now, and the first call to ministry that I received was in Cleveland, Ohio. And I remember living in Cleveland, Ohio. We lived on a road called Carydale Avenue, and it was in the parsonage beside West Park Friends Church. And it was part of the city's planning where in Ohio, the strip of grass between the sidewalk and the road, for some reason, is called, do we know what that's called, what the Midwest calls that? We call that the Devil's Strip. So on the Devil's Strip, the city was planting trees, and we were excited that in front of every house a tree was planted. And we were excited because the trees that they were planting were fruit trees, and they planted a pear tree right in front of our house there in Carydale. We were, you know, it was just something new, a pear tree on the Devil's Strip. And, you know, that was towards it was late spring, towards the beginning of summer. And then we noticed as weeks went on that everyone's, you know, pear tree and fruit tree was growing, and ours seemed to be not growing. Ours seemed to be withering, as a matter of fact. And well, it's Cleveland summer. Maybe it's not raining enough. So we start trying to water it. And, you know, then I break out the Miracle-Gro. I'm like, maybe it just needs a Kickstarter, you know, just high octane. And we sprinkled. We did all we could. And I thought, and after all of that, we realized, well, it's still going nowhere. And a matter of weeks, it had died. while everyone else's was flourishing. So you kind of feel picked on. Your expectation of being like everyone else, and then, man, you know, look at that. All right, maybe a worm got into it or something. Well, before long, we decided, well, we want to plant another pear tree. So we got a pear tree there at Home Depot, and the kids, they always named the trees. So I'm not sure what the name. This was Sprout. Okay, so Sprout had a new beginning. It came from Home Depot. And we dug up the dead tree that the city had planted. And to my surprise, as I was digging it up, I realized what had happened. It wasn't a worm or a disease that had gotten into the tree and infiltrated it. When we brought it up from the ground, I saw a knotted mangle of roots that had been constricted and choked by wire that the workers had not clipped off. Had I known, I would have dug it up, unclipped the wire, put it back. That spoke to me. I thought, that can happen to people too, where their roots try to grow, but they can't because they're constricted, they're stifled, and they're choked. What I love about Jesus is he saw the root of the ruler, and he said, get rid of what is constricting you, and then you can grow and flourish. What I love about this story is this isn't a story of someone that we can stand at the sidelines and say, I'm glad I'm not like that. I read the story and say, that's me. That's me too. Where do we go from expectation to experience a revelation and to be invited to adapt? I wrote this line. It says, our expectation of God ends where another lesser power over us begins. We will only expect so much and so far with God to the point of where another lesser power that is over us that we have allowed begins. My query for this morning as we enter into open worship is simple. What are we expecting from God in this season of our lives? What is our expectation? And one to follow that. What is God asking me to adapt to in light of this story of Jesus? With that, I invite us to center down and allow the Spirit to speak to our condition.